talk to you about the fresh oil of joy. Everybody say fresh oil of joy. Psalms 92:10 says, "But my horn shall you exalted, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." Everybody say, "I have been anointed with fresh oil." Here it says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Are you expecting fresh oil from the Lord? Amplified Classic Version says, "But my horn, an emblem of excessive strength and stately grace, you have exalted like that of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil." The New Life Version says, "But you have lifted me up like my horn like that of a wild bull. New oil has been poured upon me." Everybody say, "Lord, I want the new oil." And as we've said before, we require a continual filling and refueling, and because we need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, it's more imperative and more important these last days. Nehemiah 8:10 has told us, "This day is holy to the Lord. Don't feel bad. The joy of God is your strength." The joy of God is your strength. And we said, principally, if you have no joy, you have no strength. And if you have no strength, you cannot resist sin, Satan, sickness, or sorrow. You know, when bad news or bad situations come rolling up on the shores of your life, you need to be able to resist the evil report and adopt and hold on to the report of the Lord. Faith always has a good report. Amen. But the fuse of faith is joy. You're excited. You're expectant. You're energized with the strength of God called the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you can't resist, you don't win. When these things come at you, sin, temptations, Satan, oppression, depression, sickness, disease, illness, and infirmities, sorrow, you know what that is, mourning, grieving, worrying, sadness. So it's important to start with joy and end with joy in our respective God-given lives and race that we've been set before us. God may tell you, "Son, daughter, this is your race this week." We ought to get our orders from the Lord through the Holy Spirit. He tells you, "This is what I have planned for you." Because remember, we're kingdom kids. We're children of God. Isn't that right? Come on, church, wake up now. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Everybody say, "I'm a child of God." That means you belong to God. Jesus is your Lord. That means he gets to tell you what to do. That's one of his attributes as Lord. That means he might tell you, "I want you to do this. I want you to talk." Boy, the devil will set up difficulties, disappointments, distractions, disruptions, deceptions, to try to bog you down, blow you away, and bother you so much to where I don't do what God wants me to do. As we said before, supernatural joy and strength will give you a staying power when everything around you falls apart. There will always be circumstantial resistance to the will of God in your life. When you go deeper, like the song was sung, when you want to go higher, when you want to go farther, when God takes you, tells you to cross over to the other side, there will suddenly come hurricane category 5 resistance. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Everybody say,
the joy of the Lord
is my strength. Now, if you got a car that's running on old oil, let's just say you miss your oil change by a couple thousand miles. Let's just say 3,000 or 4,000 miles. You're well overdue. And you got to make that long haul from San Antonio to El Paso. You're putting a lot of heat on that engine with old oil. You might lock up somewhere in the middle where there's no cell phone coverage. And he's like, "Wait a minute, my car's acting up." Everybody say, fresh oil, Lord. Remember, do not be grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Now, the real criticality is to rejoice always, as Thessalonians tells us, and Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, what? Rejoice. So we can rejoice in the Lord, not in what's going on. Because some people think, well, are you telling me I got to rejoice in what's going on? I got all kinds of H-E-double-L and look like defeat is standing four walls naked around me. You telling me to rejoice in that, Pastor? No, I'm not telling you to rejoice. The Bible says, I'm telling what the Bible says. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. So when you rejoice in the Lord, you can take his strength, which is his joy. In other words, the joy of Jesus and the joy of the Lord. In other words, you exchange your weakness and incapacity for his strength and his unlimited capacity. Does everybody see that? Let's read that again in the Message Bible. Nehemiah 8:10. This day is holy to the Lord. Don't feel bad. The joy of God is your strength. So rejoicing is a choice, but it's also something you must learn to live as a lifestyle. So every morning you should be rejoicing intentionally. And for a reason and a purpose, to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10 says. You're not rejoicing just because you just want to fill up space on your calendar or your to-do list. See, your to-do list should be behind the Lord's to-do list. Amen. And if you do his to-do list, he'll help you do your to-do list. Are you listening to me? And so the Father likes it when you rejoice. Rejoice, and rejoicing is the serious business of heaven. So if you're going to do business with God tomorrow, today, this week, this month, next, the rest of this year, you got to learn to rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. The disciples were continually filled throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. So they go one and the same. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit helps you get full of joy. You don't get, as we said, a sad Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you're coming out sad, if you're coming to serve sad, mad, if you're frustrated or you've been worn out because of the week, then you've been operating probably, perhaps, I'm suggesting to you, on old oil. Your oil isn't fresh. God's got fresh oil. Amen. Now, I don't care if you're down and under. You've already sunk your head underwater for two times, and you've got to go down for the third count. You can still rejoice. God can still turn things around. Amen. Hallelujah. Preaching good, Pastor. You're preaching real good today. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Hallelujah. See, when the Holy Spirit is moving in your life and on your life and through your heart, there's a constant flow of the Spirit. There's not a restriction, because we restrict and limit the Holy Spirit when we do two things. Ephesians 4 tells us that grieve not the Spirit. We're not to grieve him. That means we vex him and make him sad by the stuff we say and the stuff we do and the stuff we think about. That's why he said, serve the Lord with gladness, Psalms 102, because our attitude could be a joyous attitude or a begrudging attitude. I got to go to work today. And you're angry and you're fussing and mad about work or the demands and pressures and the rigors of the work environment. Everybody ought to see you coming into the office singing, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day I will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is the day where my money's going to come. My breakthrough's going to come. You have to see you on the highway in the traffic jams of 410, I-10, or 35, or 37, wherever you're driving on, or 151. All in these highways and congested roads in the morning or in the afternoon, they ought to see you singing and praising God, saying, this is the day. This is the day that my money's going to come. This is the day I'm expecting God to turn things around on my job. I'm expecting God to work a miracle in my life. If you're shuttling kids to school, you ought to be so joyful and not honking on your horns and saying, getting frustrated. I got to shuttle. I got to drive through this traffic. No, no, no. You rejoice in that car.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Whatever you do, small or big, God wants you to serve him with gladness.
Amen.
And there will see it when he's in your life, on your life, through your heart, there will be demonstrations of joy. Demonstrations are simply singing, laughing, we said, running, praise God, dancing, shouting, praising God, thanking God. Hallelujah. I mean, they automatically come up. They automatically come out because the Holy Spirit's not limited, restricted. You didn't grieve him, and like Thessalonians says, don't quench the Spirit. In other words, you can muzzle the Holy Spirit or ignore him or extinguish him. That means there's a fire there, but you can put out the fire. And it looks like there's no fire left in your life. God wants the fire of God to land on your head, to consume your life. Amen. That means you go to work on fire for the Lord. Amen. You come home on fire for God. You picking up your kids, grandkids, or dealing with in your family affairs, on fire for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And why? Because they'll see demonstrations of joy.
Yes.
You smell fresh. There's fresh oil there. Fresh fire there. Hallelujah. The importance of joy we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 through 23. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, now here you go, make note of this. Your flesh, see, if when you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, your flesh is going to start chewing on your brother. You're going to be chewing on somebody. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, I'm reading out the New Living Translation, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those which practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that means you won't access or participate in kingdom power and kingdom principles and kingdom processes and kingdom provision. Can y'all repeat that? Repeat that. Okay, no. When you says you don't inherit it, that means you won't share in it or participate in it. What? Kingdom power, kingdom process, kingdom principles, amen, and kingdom provision. So when you operate in the flesh, the things of the kingdom don't work for you.
Amen.
It's not talking about going to heaven. It just means the Bible becomes a dead book to you. The promises of God become cut off from you temporarily when you're in the flesh. Look at somebody next to you and say, stay in the Spirit. Look at somebody else and look them real nice and smile at them and say, you need to stay spiritual. Hallelujah. You're better looking. Remember, we said you're better looking when you're filled with the Spirit. Amen. Because the joy of the Lord, what? Gives you a facelift. Come on, you stop frowning and mean mugging me, especially because when y'all are looking at me, sometimes some of y'all look at me like you're mad or something. Come on now. Hallelujah. or you're miserable. Gives you a facelift, but it also gives you a faith lift. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, just like I tell you beforehand, they won't inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. First fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, love, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no. See, we see the importance of staying filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit to enable us and to empower us to walk in and be led by not our flesh, but by the Spirit. When you're under the influence of your flesh, it's easy to yield to demons. Demonic influence, it's easy to yield to disease. It's easy to yield to sinful temptations. And sinful temptations that you yield to will derail you from the purpose and plan of God that He has for your life. God told me this very clearly on Friday, I believe, Friday or Thursday or Friday, when I was starting preparing this message. He said, I want to do so much more, and I got a little glimpse, so much more for my people that they can't even conceive it or comprehend it. But everything we need has already been provided in the spirit realm. But you got to be spiritual to access it. He said, we're living too much on a low level. That's why Wednesday night was so critical to get refreshed or refocused on living life and in the things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. But God has provided more, so much more than what we require or need to fulfill our assignment. But if you live in the flesh, you can't access this stuff. He can't stop His rules and laws that are the laws of the Spirit that govern these things. Are you listening to me? See, if the flesh it will display or manifest three types of sins if it's not under the influence of the Spirit. Because if you leave your flesh alone, it's going to take control. And it's going to yield to these things because it's not been fully redeemed and transformed yet. That's why every day the Bible tells us that we are to present our bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. That means you got to sacrifice your flesh on the altar of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm dead. Now you can use me. But sometimes you just look at people's Facebook posts and you can tell they're flesh-minded. They're carnal-minded because it's all about the flesh. Now, the first section He gives us in the scripture here in Galatians 5 is sexual sins. You say, well, you know, is that a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. Still a big deal in the body of Christ. Adultery, which is sexual intercourse outside the parameters of covenant marriage. You got people, even kids, think that it's okay to live together. Shack up. Well, that may be common law, but it's not God's law. Still adultery. And fornication, which is sexual immorality, sexual perversion. You know, all this stuff, groupings of homosexuality, lesbianism, pornography, bestiality, you know, pedophilia and all that stuff. All that falls under the umbrella of pornography. And again, you know, we know something happened in San Antonio. They did, you know, the rainbow stuff, and they got stuff where so we're going to accept everybody. Well, we love everybody, but we don't love sin.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. I'm saying this because we're going to be going out to people, and you need to know how to operate.
Amen.
God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Uncleanliness. Well, this is sexual impurity. This is moral stuff. Lewdness or lasciviousness, as it says in the King James, which is unbridled lust, shamelessness, excessive or uncontrolled sexual addictions. They're out of control. They're always burning in their flesh. Well, praise the Lord. Then there's sexual sin. Then there's spiritual sins. Now, God told Kenneth E. Hagin this. He said, I'll judge you quicker for spiritual sins than any other sins. These are the big ones. Sometimes we think the sexual ones are the big ones because they're more demonstrative or more overt, so to speak. But these are more covert or internal. We could be sitting in church but have spiritual sin going on and block the blessings and benefits of God and basically leak out of our spirit the joy of the Lord and live a mad and sad and grumpy and begrudging Christian life. That's not of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He says the spiritual sins are things like idolatry, witchcraft. What? That's, yes. That's in there. He's written to, writing to believers. Witchcraft is more or less manipulating, controlling people. Amen. It's a controlling spirit. That's what people say, well, don't tell me what to do. You know, I'm going to do it my way, and, you know, I don't want to be under authority. You know, I don't want anybody to control me. You hear these words. I don't want to surrender to nobody else's leadership or direction in my life. And you rebel against everybody and everyone. Somebody say, glory to God. Hatred. Be in opposition or enmity against, so you're in opposition. For contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, that's the thumos type of anger, that's the explosive or external, strife, selfish ambition, or seditions, dissension, or division, being divisive, never agreeing or agreeable, that means being in discord, disunion, disunity, that's what heresies is. So having a disunity or discord or not being in unity will harm you in the communion element because you're not discerning the Lord's body. The body of the Christ is one. The local body of Christ should act and serve and work together as one. So if, even if I decide I'm going to come to church unhappy because my week has been H-E-L-L-L, I'm operating in disunity and discord. Amen. Everybody's getting challenged. Everybody goes through stuff. Who in here has not gone through anything? But the scripture says what? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. The scripture says what? Psalms 122 verse 1. If you guys put that up there. Psalms 122 verse 1. I know that's... But David said, I was glad when they said unto me. Yes. He was what? He was glad. In other words, he heard church was coming. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about coming to church. Amen. I'm not begrudging or getting angry. Why does Pastor send me a text about coming to church? Some of y'all need to shout back and say, hey, I'm excited about coming Wednesday night. I'm excited about coming Sunday morning. I know there's a lot of mute out and just quiet. And you don't have to text everybody back. Just text me back and say, hey, I'm excited. If you're not excited, just say it by faith. I was glad. Come on now. That's a decision. Say, I was glad when they talked about coming to church. Amen. Let's go to the church. If you get glad about coming to church, maybe some other people won't come with you.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Social sins, envy, ill will, despite, jealousy, punitive zeal. Envy is a bad deal. That's how they killed Jesus. Did you know people have a crab attitude sometimes? Even in family context, somebody get blessed, somebody increase, what do they want to do? Pull them down. They always talk about how bad they were, how they never. And they always try to put you back in a place of less than them. That's envy gone to seed. That means I'm not rejoicing over your blessing. I'm not rejoicing over your increase and your answers to prayer. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we should, he said, when all members suffer, we suffer with them. That means your praying, your problem, your predicament is my predicament. Why? Because we're family. You got to act like that. You can't just be isolated and independent, because that celebrates selfishness, and you just think, I'm just worried about me, myself, and mine. No, if the pastor's going through, you're going through. You're going to go through. If somebody here in this congregation goes through, then we're all going through. We all should be praying and persevering cheerfully through the trial, through the storm. But he said, if one member's honored, honor comes from God. When the honor of God shows up in somebody's house and they get promoted, they get blessed, they get lifted, they get increased, they get a breakthrough, what should we all do? He said, all the members rejoice. Some people can't rejoice until they got their thing. Maybe your thing is waiting on you to rejoice in somebody else's thing. Somebody else's kids came home and kids came to the Lord. Let's rejoice with them about that, so our kids can be what next up. Somebody say glory to God. Don't be envious. He said, murders. Y'all getting something out of this? Murders. He said, if you hate somebody, you're a murderer. Now, hate is not stabbing somebody with a knife. Hate is basically the absence or the omission and negligence of love. Because the commandment that you and I operate in is to love one another. That means if I never have a care about you or concern, compassion towards you or commitment to you, I'm not loving you. Not the God kind of love. And so sometimes the devil brings these circumstantial resistance in our life, and so we get really tunnel vision, where we just tower down and just look at what I'm struggling with, what my struggles are. When you got the joy of the Lord, you're not necessarily carrying that care. You cast it, and you're saying, may I care for somebody else? May I demonstrate compassion and commitment to someone else, because somebody else might have a need, Lord. See, God can't use you when you're just caught up in you.
That's right.
And you can step across the line, in a sense, and get over in the area of a hatred, where there's an absence, a negligence, or a omission of love. I'm just muted out. I'm not going to even talk to you. I'm not going to let the Lord even put you on my heart to call you, text you, tweet you, give a shout out to you. How you doing? You on my heart. Now, brother, you all know him. Most of you guys know him. I know Brother Kyle and some of the other ones that have been around here a long time. No, Don Perkins called me yesterday. He said, Lord had you on my heart. I was ministering at the church yesterday, and he called me up. So I was in the conference, so I didn't answer the call, and then called him back after. Man, he gave me such a word of encouragement.
Praise God.
My goodness. I mean, I saw his name come across, and I got happy about it. I got joy about it. I said, brother, this brother, and he gave me an update, but he just ministered to me for 30 minutes.
Praise God.
It was a joy. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. See, we got to get out of that area of stewing in our own stew all the time.
That's right.
We get to smelling our own stuff all the time. And the whole world gets distorted. Somebody say, glory to God. Drunkenness, we know intoxication, that's it. Revelries, carousing, revelry, or rioting. See, when the first fruit of love, the first fruit of love and the first fruit of joy, the fruit of joy, is growing and flourishing through our heart and life, the desire to do these things of the flesh wants to do wanes and fades in our lives. So we got to stay in love, but we got to stay in joy because our strength is to resist this sin. Resist from going into the ditch of doubt and the ditch of depression and discouragement. And you thinking, you got a look of despair on your face, like gloom, despair, agony on me. And everybody knows that you're not happy being a Christian. And we skew the testimony of the Lord in our lives just because we got a light affliction that we're going through. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Hallelujah. You don't wait for joy to come. You make joy happen. Turn to someone next to you and say, don't wait for joy to come.
Don't wait for joy to come.
Make joy happen.
Make joy happen.
Joy is a fruit and a supernatural force of your born again, new, recreated human spirit. And it has to grow and be cultivated as you choose and decide you will operate in love, joy, peace, etc., all these fruit of the Spirit. So you don't wait for it to come. Some people waiting to feel love before they choose to love. That's wrong. That's not faith.
That's right.
That's feelings.
Amen.
You waiting to feel joy before I get in joy. No, you waiting for happiness to come on. The sun shines, the birds to sing to you, somebody to give you, you know, thousands of dollars in your hand, and oh yeah, I get happy now. Choose joy. Everybody say, choose joy. You are the one to generate joy. You and I. Around you. Rejoicing daily helps to rekindle the joy and refuel that joy. You don't program sorrow by spreading bad news and expect joy to surround you. In other words, if you're always talking about your problems, your pain, your pressure, your predicament, then you're going to program sorrow to saturate you and intoxicate you. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Psalms 150, verse 6, praise ye the Lord. You make praise happen by being joyful. When you are intoxicated with joy, it explodes in praises. Don't allow your flesh to cause you to leak and run dry of joy. And don't let the devil steal your joy, because if he can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to go back and listen to this myself. This is good stuff. Hallelujah. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. One of the greatest assets to the fulfillment of your life, ministry, and your leadership in your family is joy. When you are joyless, you are helpless. When you are joyless, you are helpless. That explains why downcasted people are always going down, because it takes a boosted morale and motivation of heart to make a definite and outstanding mark in your daily life. You got to start with joy and end with joy.
Amen.
And then in the middle, you end joy. The journey. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. That's why some people are always unhappy, and they can't even explain what that way. They sag, slump, and wonder, and twist their face, look like they've been sucking on sour lemons and prune juice, and they say, why is the other person laughing? The reason they're asking that question is because their heart's not glad, like the other person's heart is glad.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord and learn to rejoice in the Lord. Now, 1 Samuel 1, 30, verse 1 through 6, we're almost done. And it says, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now David and his men, his mighty men, were at Ziklag. So they burned their all stuff. Now listen to this. They taken the women captives in, therein and slew, they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So they took their wives. And so David and his men came to the city. They were gone doing battle, doing the work of the Lord. They come back home and all, you know what's broken loose. Houses burned down. What if your house burned down? What if you lost your wife and children or spouse? Behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. They took all their livestock and stuff. Keep going. Then David and the people were with him lifted them up their voice and did what? Wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. Their name's there. Verse 6. Don't get me to try to pronounce this. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of what?
Stoning him.
I'm going to kill him. Now, when you're joyless and helpless, you get mad at everybody, especially the leadership. Mm-hmm. You're miserable on that job, you're mad at the boss. He ain't done nothing wrong, or she man, ain't done nothing wrong. You're just mad. My son knows he's managing now, so he knows. They get mad at the manager when things don't go right. They take it out on the manager. Some people try to take it out on the pastor. But anyway, praise God. Hopefully you don't. But they spake of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved. Why did they speak of stoning him? Because their soul was grieved. Every man and his sons and his daughters. But David did what? What did David do?
Encouraged himself in the Lord.
His God. What did he do? He encourages himself in the Lord. What are we supposed to do? Encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Translation, New Testament, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Translation, James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. Count it. He didn't say it's joy full. He said count it joy.
Yes.
Count it joy. Hallelujah. See, sorrow and brokenheartedness thrive on the past, concentrates on failures, mishaps, missed opportunities, insults and assaults. That's what sorrow and brokenheartedness dwells on and thrives on. But a life of joy, on the contrary, focuses on the future. It's full of expectation for a bright and better tomorrow. Some people expect good things, but very few believe that it will come to pass. It is the only by focusing on the future that you are guaranteed a continual flow of joy. Jesus did it. We talked about it last week. Who for the joy that was set where? Before him, endured the cross. If you only knew, Mark Hankins said this, Pastor Mark Hankins told, he said this several times that we've been in conferences with him. If you only knew, the Holy Spirit told him this, if you only knew what was on the other side of your mouth, if you only knew what happens in the spirit realm when you rejoice, he said you would rejoice every day.
Amen.
Now, are you rejoicing every day? That means you're rekindling that joy, you're rejoying, you're refueling that joy level. Just like you would stop and fill your car up with gas, you need to fill your spirit up with joy and the Holy Spirit daily. And if you only knew what was happening in the spirit realm, you would rejoice every single day. Are y'all getting this today? Joy will give you the only way to prove that you are not a failure is to be joyful, to put your best in your present in order to arrive at the successful future that you dream of. You got to bury your past failures because your past is irreparable. There's nothing you can do about it. Joy will give you the endurance to ignore the negative forces around you and reach out for your glorious future. See, when your spirit is broken, friends, now this is really, really, really concentrated truths that I'm giving you. When your spirit is broken, friends, your entire countenance goes down, then your life starts crawling. Because there's a connection to joy and your goods. Because if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods that come from God. So when he steals your joy, he takes your goods.
Amen.
So that's why you don't wait till the trial is over and the test is over to rejoice. You rejoice at the onset before the outcome. You program intentionally and on purpose. I'm going to rejoice because I got trouble on the horizon. I see it coming. I see it crawling up on my house. You start rejoicing right then. This is another opportunity for God to get the glory in my life. This is another opportunity for God's word to come true on my behalf.
Amen.
Friends, if you overexpose yourself to heartbreaking news all the time. So some people need to stay off Facebook, need to stay off the news.
Amen.
Stop looking at and staring at and meditating on your bills and your misery and your past memories of pain.
Amen.
If you overexpose yourself to heartbreaking news, your life will stop delivering its goodness to you. And if you enjoy telling and hearing bad news, you know, the old cliche statement, misery loves company. That should not be a testimony of anybody in us in this room. If you enjoy telling and hearing bad news, you cannot maintain your joy. Because we can tell if you're full of joy, you will express demonstrations of joy. It won't be like lifting a... The Holy Spirit won't have to get a tractor trailer and a crane to lift your hand up to praise the Lord during praise and worship. Your mouth won't be poked out and just staring at the screen when it comes to sing, because a merry heart will sing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now you ready to get the oil of joy?
Amen.
Psalms 23:5, as I'm closing up here, says this, "You anoint my head with oil." Everybody say, Lord, anoint my head with oil. See, it's difficult for those living in our temperature-controlled environment to appreciate, but it was customary in hot climates, in this context of Scripture, to anoint the body with oil to protect it from excessive perspiration. When mixed with perfume, the oil imparted a delightfully refreshing and invigorating sensation. Athletes anointed their bodies as a matter of course before running the race. They made sure that they were anointed before they got in that race. As the body, therefore, the anointing oil was refreshed, invigorated, and better fitted for action. So the Lord would anoint his sheep, that's us, with the Holy Spirit, whom the oil symbolizes, to fit them to engage more freely in his service and run in the way he directs them in heavenly fellowship with him. You said, I'm going through with the Lord because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You always help me. He's always there. So he's always with you. He's always for you. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, how can I be denied? Come on now. Come on. And then he's in you. God is in you. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Come on. You got the greater one on the inside. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Hallelujah. The greater one will put me over, will put me around and put me through this situation, this storm in my life. Hallelujah. And so you get happy about what the Lord is doing in and for your life. He anoints me with fresh oil. He anoints my head with oil. Everybody say, I'm anointed with fresh oil. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10:27 says, it shall come to pass in that day, the burden shall be taken off from the shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The yoke shall be destroyed. Everybody say, the yoke
shall be destroyed.
Because of the anointing.
Because of the anointing.
Now, the yoke is basically the burden The anointing is basically the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Amen. You need the anointing and the power of God to destroy the yokes of the enemy tries to put on your life. This is a yoke that symbolizes what the devil tries to bind and beat you down with and burden you down with. Hebrews 1:9 says this way, you love justice and hate evil, therefore, your God has anointed you with the pouring out the oil of joy. Everybody say the oil of joy. More than you, than anyone else. So Jesus has the oil of joy on him, and you're in Jesus. So the same joy that was on Jesus can be experienced in your life. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
This will break you out of depression. This should break you out of discouragement. This should break your mind out of thinking despair and hopelessness. Come on now. And helplessness. This should break you out of the barriers that have been limiting you and been a liability to your life. There's no mountain too big for you to move, no assignment too difficult for you to finish, and no city too great for you to possess if you stay full of the oil of joy.
Amen.
Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Some of you, God is giving you an assignment in your family because you're the seed of righteousness in that family. So your faith assignment is to begin to pull them in one by one by your faith. But what does the devil bring? Deception. Disruptions, distractions, discouragement, to get you off your assignment of prayer, get you off your assignment of your business venture, your business idea from God, to get you to be a wealth builder and a kingdom builder to the glory of God.
Amen.
We're on assignment, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing this for God. You need fresh oil. When you're anointed with fresh oil of the Holy Spirit, you receive a supernatural ability, endurance, and strength. There's a refreshing in the oil, in the joy of the Lord, that will enable and empower you to run strong and finish your particular race with joy. We know that Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So I'm going to close with this question. When's the last time you had your spiritual oil of joy changed? Have you checked your spiritual dipstick? You know how you look at that oil, and you know when you first put it in, it's really caramel color, black, it's a little clear, real clear and crisp. I mean, that oil is fresh. Everybody say fresh oil. And then you put that dipstick down after you've been driving 5,000, 6,000 miles, and that thing is what? It's black. It's not clear. The viscosity in this oil, the chemical makeup of the oil has been deteriorating and being changed. It's not as efficient and as effective as it was 5,000, 6,000 miles before. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Well, what about your spiritual dipstick? See, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:1, the first part of dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary sends forth a stinky savior. So bad oil is like crud, like mud. It's bad. Breaks down easy. Breaks down easy. What happens when you don't have when you have bad oil? It's not fresh. You break down easy. The devil just doesn't even have to push you hard. He just blows at you. And you're already falling apart. Everybody say, fresh oil, Lord.
Fresh oil, Lord.
Does your spiritual oil look like sludge? Is it dirty and damaged with dead flies of discouragement, past defeats, disruptions, and devastations that you've experienced? James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you have all kinds of trouble. Patience and cheerful endurance will give you the staying power to bring you to the goal, the end of your faith. Your rejoicing is faith in action. You're not going to You're not going to quit halfway through. Joy and cheer of the Holy Spirit is your strength. Everybody say, the joy of the Lord, is my strength. Now, come on, stand with me. We're going to say something, then we're going to receive something, and we're going to do something. Hallelujah. Y'all get something out of this today?